Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, there's so many things going on. Today is the second of the four blood moons, and hold on, you know, things are happening. Remember, that's deliverance right. is coming. But today we're going to be talking about the elections that are coming up on November the 4th. Make sure we focus on that. That as Christians, we should be educating ourselves on the vote and going out to vote. People that are that have values that are, you know, values that we line up with. And also we'll be talking about Agent Storm. Agent Storm is a new book released from a former jihadist that reportedly had given, found Christianity, found Jesus Christ, and left Al-Qaeda and became an agent for CIA, one of the, you know, what do you call them?
The operatives.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, and he'll be, we'll have the, his whole interview is going to be available for you on the VFN Torch, but you'll hear parts of it here. And in the future, be looking for the green room for all of our partners, because we're going to have some great stuff available for our partners in the green room. And partners, what, $9.95 a month? Everything's there. Also, a rapid history of America. We want to be able to get a rapid history about America, and this is how we are today. Like, tell me in like four bullet points, and you know, and we're gonna, because we need to know history, but it's gonna be just real quick, and it's gonna be with pictures and stuff, and it's gonna be very interesting.
Oh, wow.
And we'll make that available to you also after the program on the VFN Torch, and we want to talk too about, do you know who the prime minister was two prime ministers ago in Israel? Pat, do you remember who that is? John?
Shimon Peres?
Two.
I don't know. Barack.
Yes.
Barack.
And we'll be talking about Barack, Prime Minister Barack, because it was President George W. Bush that told Prime Minister Barack that he had to give up the Gaza Strip. And guess what we got? We got Barack.
Wow.
It makes you wonder, like, you know, is what's happening right now in our present leadership, is it because we messed with Israel and told them to give up land? You remember them going there for all that?
Oh, yeah.
So
we'll
be talking about that. As in addition, we'll be talking about, we're going to go right to this. This, you aren't going to believe this, but this is the America that we're in right now, and it's shocking. But in a school in Tennessee, there is a teacher there that one of her students sneezed. One of her students sneezed, and the other student said, "God bless you." And they sent, you got to hear this, they sent that student that said, "God bless you," to the principal's office and said, "Bless you will not be mentioned in this classroom. God wouldn't be mentioned." Take a look at this. Matter of fact, watch this local news broadcast, Tennessee.
A high school senior now in Tennessee. He got kicked out of class for doing something many of us say is a common courtesy.
Kendra Turner served a in-school suspension after saying "bless you" in class after someone sneezed. Now, the phrase is one of several terms the teacher doesn't allow. The teenager claimed that she was told "bless you" is banned because it's for church. A pastor in the area said that this isn't the first issue students have had with this particular teacher when it comes to faith.
There were several students that were talking about this particular faculty member there that was very demeaning to them in regards to their faith.
Now, school administrators say Turner was suspended because she created a distraction by yelling across the room. The student argues that it is her First Amendment freedom of speech to say "bless you." This has been our topic of the day, and we've been asking you what you think about this student suspension. Many of you taking to Facebook this morning, and Tom says if this teacher or any public figure is going to be offended so easily by words, then maybe it's not the right job for them. It is a public school.
And Lisa says, "I'm thinking there's a lot more to the story that the girl is not sharing. Suspension is pretty harsh, though." Do appreciate your comments. You can keep that conversation going by heading to our Facebook pages.
There's always those people like, "Yeah, I do understand crucifying God's son's bad, but there are those people that need to be crucified."
Yeah.
And it's like there's always somebody out there is like, "Really? Are you?" the person who should go to the principal's office is the teacher should go get fired.
Hello.
Exactly.
But you know what? We elect the school superintendents, the school boards in our entire country.
Mm-hmm.
You elected. We elect these men and women. And you can say, I'm not going to have anybody in these offices who have those kind of values. But understand what she's saying here. And it's so important what this teacher was saying. And this is the spirit across the land. You just keep your church stuff, your religious stuff in your church.
Mm.
And you know why? Because we made church about a building.
Mm. Yeah.
And guess what they're doing? This is what the enemy's saying. Fine. We'll use it. We'll use that.
That's right.
You keep it in your building. You keep it in your building. But the church is not a building.
Mm.
The church is believers, followers of Jesus Christ. We can meet under an oak tree. We can meet in a coffee shop. We can meet in a stucco building. People want Jesus. They don't want buildings. But now, because we've made it about buildings, we bring people to buildings. You know, somebody's prayed for years, you know, and you've told them about the Lord for years. And so you got to come to our building, right?
Right.
And so the guy shows up, and he finally, after a couple months, he gets a hard time. He says, I'm going to go down there because God's in this building. And so he shows up in the building, right? Bob does.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob's sitting, I'm like, this is it. I showed up in the building. I'm here, right? And all of a sudden, you know, everybody who is sitting on those chairs or pews, depending on what viewpoint you have about how you sit or stand, is that they don't realize that they are the church. So they're in the building too. And they're looking forward. Everybody's just looking forward, you know, and they're thinking like, boy, I sure hope Bob hears this. I mean, I hope Bob gets that. I mean, he's in the building. We contain this in the building. I didn't tell Bob anything about Jesus at the coffee shop or when I saw him at the gas station. I didn't tell him my testimony.
No.
But we're in the building now.
Right.
And so we're looking forward. And all of a sudden, of course, since the church didn't know they were the church, they thought the building was the church. Bob leaves disappointed and he blames God because God didn't love me because I showed up at the church, the building. And I'm unchanged. And then the people who are the church who sat beside Bob start saying, what's Bob's problem? I can't believe him. We brought him to the church. We brought him to the building. And it's like, you are the church. You should have told Bob about your testimony. You should have told him about Jesus. Oh, you don't know him? You can know him. The building doesn't save you, and nor does a role. But understand, this is what they said. This is what that teacher said in Tennessee. You take God, and you take the blessings of God, and you take it where you took Bob. You take it back in that building.
Wow.
We made it about a building, and guess what the darkness is doing now? They're saying, carry it in the building. And so you have people in buildings going, lions, tigers, and bear. Oh, no, lions, tigers, we're safe in here. Right? And so you come together, and of course, God shows up because where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of.
Mm-hmm.
But when you leave there, you don't carry God with you. You don't talk about God in your home. You don't talk about God in your neighborhood. You don't talk about God in your community. You don't talk about him in your workplace. Remember the attorney that was scared half to death to even put God anywhere near his stuff? And he said he was a Christian.
Wow.
And it was just like, dude, come on. If you're ashamed of God before men, he'll be ashamed of you before the Father. You find out if you really are a follower of God, if you're not ashamed to say you're his.
Mm.
And so we made it about a building. And so this teacher tells this Christian girl, you know, you keep God and his blessings in your building, but out here, we won't have it. We won't even have this thing. And you have to understand, people need Jesus. They want Jesus, but we've been given them a building.
Mm-hmm.
One particular leader in the Baptist church denomination said, you know, we have been selling people on America and just giving them Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, what have we done? We need to understand, if we had no buildings at all, we still are the church. People want Jesus. Listen to Pastor Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence.
Did you know religion has never really seen the Lord? Religion has never really seen the Lord. Religion sees buildings. Religion sees doctrine. Religion sees all these other things, and that's fine too. But they've never really had an experience with the Lord. People are saying, I don't care about the church building. I don't care about the name on the church. Just show me Jesus. Show me Jesus. Lead me to Him, the lover of my soul.
This is so important because if you haven't got the teaching, we're going to make a link available for you to be able to get it from Church of His Presence, John Kilpatrick Ministries, about urgency. Where's the urgency? And he's talking about the evil watchman. And this is the evil watchman. When in Songs of Solomon, when she comes for her, trying to find her lover, remember, she was there and she was all dressed and ready for him. And then all of a sudden she thinks he's going to come, but he doesn't come. And she runs out to the streets and she looks to the watchman. And the evil watchman, when she says, have you seen him? Have you seen, think about it. What he's saying is, that's the church. Have you seen Jesus? Mm. And the watchman says, I don't even know where he is. I don't even know who you're talking about. And right now, because we've called everything the church that's not the church, and the things that are the church, we don't even acknowledge it. And so we send people, I mean, 9/11 hit. 9/11 hit, and these buildings were filled after 9/11. But we had watchmen. Watchmen who said, you know, you need a 12-step program. You know, you need to get involved in our, we have this program for this, we have a program for that, we have a financial this, we have a financial that. You know, you need to be able to, you know, start teaching something or doing something. It's like, brother, they just want Jesus. You have to understand that. First we find Jesus, then we are the church. We don't do church. We are the church, and we make Jesus the Lord of our life. He speaks to us, and he leads us. We become his disciple. We love God, and we love others, and lead others to do the same. And in that, the church happens, and then it all makes sense to us. But when you see the church as an institution, as a building, and buildings are great, but you just see it that way, that the word of God doesn't even make sense to you. It doesn't even apply. So you have to skip over this and skip over that and skip over this. But when you see the church as family, when you see it as our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that there's order to things, that when he talks about, you know, a person should be able to manage his own home, it's because the church is going to be around that person's home. I mean, they're going to influence the church. Not because, hey, if you have a good home, then you can lead the building down the street. No, you have a good home because the church could be in your home. But it doesn't even happen. It doesn't. It's like, no, we're like, what are we doing? This teacher nailed us. She nailed us. Sort of like when President Bill Clinton said in his campaign years ago, he says, it's the economy, stupid. And he nailed that was our God at the time because we were following money. If you get the money right, then you'll get the vote. And he was right. And think about this. It's the building. It's the building. They really believe when they drive past that empty building and nobody's in there, not even the pastor and his secretary. Nobody's in there. Not one single human being's in there. They'll drive right past that building with Bob in their passenger seat and they'll point at it and they'll say, there's my church. There's my church. You got to come this Sunday at 10:46. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
You can learn some profound lessons from your child. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Ken Sandy, who says that he learned a great insight from his six-year-old.
I remember one time my son broke a figurine. It was one I gave to Corlette at our engagement. And I was angry, and I spoke to him sharply, and he said he was sorry, but I wasn't ready to forgive him. I went into my study, and a couple minutes later, he walks in, reaches out his hands, open them up, and all these pennies and nickels and quarters fall on the table. He said, Daddy, I emptied my piggy bank, and I hope this is enough to buy a new thing for mommy. If it's not, I'll get a job.
Now, that's a wonderful story of a boy who was truly repentant. You know, sometimes God gets our attention in some unusual ways. And to learn more about forgiveness, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
So he asked him, he says, what did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And he said, we haven't even heard of it.
We don't talk about it.
We'll talk about it. They believed in Jesus. They were disciples to the extent of the knowledge that they had. But they have never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Many people today who are believers, and he's held back in your life, but I got good news for you. A big win's about to sweep the fall from you. God's going to sweep you in by his Spirit. You're going to be baptized with by his Spirit, you'll overcome it. By his Spirit, this end time harvest is going to be coming in over a billion souls in the kingdom of God. Not by your work, but by his Spirit. Not by your power, but by his Spirit.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, look, about we're talking, if you missed earlier part of this program, you got to catch it. A student gets sent to the principal's office because she says, God bless you, to another fellow student that has
sneezed.
And you can find out more about that and understand this is what we can change this because that school is ran by somebody that our fellow citizens in Tennessee, that you put them in there. Mm-hmm. So you can actually change that by putting other folks in there that would fire this teacher for even thinking about doing that to a child in the classroom. And secondly, about we got to get out of the buildings. I mean, we can visit in the buildings, but we got to understand that we're the church 24/7. We have to, that's who we really are. I mean, who we are is when we're outside of that gathering.
Right.
I mean, it's easy to hang around folks who think like you, but Jesus said, if that's the only time you act like you're saved, if that's the only time that you love and the only people that you love, he says, you're no different than the pagans.
Yeah, it's the pep rally. It's not the game.
Yes, right.
It's the pep rally. The game
if we're
going to
have
day.
One more pep rally right. And nobody's going to play ball. I mean, it's amazing, you know, when you think about it, that can you imagine, you know, you get out there with somebody and you're going to throw the ball. You're going to throw the football with them. And they stand there and you throw it at them and their arms don't come up or nothing. The ball just kind of hits them and falls to the ground. That's a lot like the American church. It's like, what is this? Now, if we were doing this in that building, you know,
right.
I'd understand, but we don't play ball out here. Put that away. You know, we're at work now. We're at work, you know. I'm with my friends now. We don't put that down, you know. Or don't even know that we're supposed to actually do something with this gospel, with this Jesus. And so find out more about that. You know, when you think about what's taking place in the Middle East, and we've talked about that in an earlier program, got to think about this. I think about, you know, President Barack Obama is our president, and he's the one that's there during this rapid transformation, fundamental transformation of the world and of America. But things just don't happen. And when I was doing a little studies, and I'm looking here, and I remember when President George Bush, and a lot of things that people are talking about today, and they're saying, you know, President Barack Obama did this, and he did that, and he did this. No, actually, he's utilizing a lot of things that President George W. Bush put into play. He's the one that brought in the Patriot Act. He's the one that did these different things. And he, with Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, they worked out a plan in Israel where they were going to divide the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that you can't just divide the land.
Mm-mm.
You can't. I mean, everybody in the last days, we're all going to be gathered to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and God's going to judge all of us, all the nations, based on what we did with the land of Israel. And if we divided that land up, and the prime minister at the time, of course, today is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, an amazing man. But he wasn't the prime minister during that time. Why, President George W. Bush, was the president. The prime minister was Barack. And his name actually means something about land.
Wow.
I can't remember what it means. But it reminds me, too, about, I think it was Deborah. I think the leader then was Barack and the prophet Deborah, you know, prophetess Deborah. You know, she said, what do I do with this? And he says, well, the men are basically not going to do it. And so she did it, and God called her to do it. And they had no problem. And he said, well, okay, if she's going to do it, then she's going to get all the glory for this. But that was Barack, by the way. But the interesting thing, so when President George W. Bush was president, he and Condoleezza Rice and all of his advisors, they said, with their policies and procedures, that if they'll just give this land, it's a two-state solution, if they'll just give this land to the Palestinians, give it over to them, because that was Israel's land when Prime Minister Barack was in office over Israel, then there will be peace. Because what the Palestinians want, they just want their own piece of land. They want a two-state solution. There's no such thing as a two-state solution. Every solution, as you've heard us over and over again, and we've played all the clips and all the... That's not what they want. What they want is a caliphate. They want they want ISIL. They want all this land over here, and they want Israel pushed into the sea. And so that's what happened under President George W. Bush. Now, isn't it interesting that in, I guess, 2008, God gives America our own Barack?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. And what does he lead? He leads, based on reports and what's happening under this current administration, the most divisive, everything that could be divided is being divided. He taught, according to the Chicago Tribune, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. He taught it for like 4 years. He's been mentored at a distance from Saul Alinsky. He worked hand in hand with a mentored daughter of Saul Alinsky's, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Mm.
And they work together, and it's all about divide. I mean, God gave us division. I mean, you think about it. Everything's divided. It's like, it doesn't matter the fact of, it's like, well, which side is these folks on? It's like, they're on any side. They're just trying to divide everything. It's called, you have to polarize. Polarize before you organize. You have to divide everything. So we divided Israel under George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice, under the leadership of Prime Minister Barack.
Mm.
And so God gives us, in 2008, President Barack Obama, who divides. I mean, I'm surprised that they haven't been divided yet. You know what I'm saying? Everything that can be divided is being divided. I mean, you have ups and downs and lefts and rights and race and all these different things going on. It's like, how much more division can they be? And according to the prophetic dream given to Rick Joyner just a couple of days ago, he says, from the Lord, was that 48 states will be divided.
Mm. Wow.
And D.C. is divided, and Congress is divided, and the judiciary branch is divided, and the church is divided, and every issue is about division. And so we can sit here and say we wrestle against flesh and blood, or we can say, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. We can say men are in control and they have all these evil plans, or we can say many are the plans in a man's heart, the Lord's plans are the ones that prevail, that all of men's strength cannot prevail against the wisdom and the ways of God. We can say either God is God and God's in control, and we should not have messed with Israel. We should not have told them to give up Gaza. This war they just had, and it's all justified in the fact that they have their own little country now given to the Palestinian people there, which was Israel prior to that. And we said, you know, you needed a roadmap to peace, you know, whatever it was called, a two-state solution. And when President Barack Obama became president, he inherited, not only, as President Bush said, that they got drunk on Wall Street and went crazy with the different things that happened, but the economic crisis, but he inherited the fact that America's leaders divided up the land. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at this whole thing has been progressing to the point, well, who's going to be our next president? Well, if we pray to the Lord, you know, maybe God's going to hear from heaven and he's going to touch the nation and we'll have, you know, a godly leader. And I'm not saying godly or ungodly, but I can tell you what God laid on my heart maybe two and a half years ago was, and I remember I have it had it sitting on my desk, every bit of it there, was that you're going to see Panetta come back up. You're going to see him surface and he's going to be, you know, laying the groundwork and you're going to see him, with coming together with a, potential, I guess President Hillary Clinton, that would be something that she'd want. And they would come together and start formulating and we'd see that happen. And out of the woodwork, you know, just this week comes Panetta. He writes a book. He criticizes, he says that this ISIS battle in the Middle East is going to be a 30-year war. Wow. 30-year war. And he's obviously, he's been over, you know, the Secretary of Defense. He's been CIA, but a lot of folks don't know that he's been with the Clintons for a long, long time.
Long time.
And so you're looking at a team coming together. And this is the question is, what does this team think about Israel?
Mm-hmm.
What does this team think about America and Israel's relationship? Well, based on the reports that we've read, that it was under President Clinton's administration that, that CARE was even formed. So these 120 leaders, these scholars from Islam, who were part of the Director of Council on American Islamic Relations, and that's what CARE stands for, Council on American Islamic Relations, that began under President Bill Clinton. So you're seeing this whole thing come full circle. You're looking, the Secretary of State, the most traveled in many, many, many years, was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and she was the one sitting in Egypt working with Morsi, wow, the Muslim Brotherhood. Her assistant that was unvetted, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, was the daughter of a strong man and strong woman leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. These are the ones that have embraced the Muslim Brotherhood as the answer to the Middle East and homeland security and all that. And so we're starting to see these things unfold. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I may read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you. And it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that
If in fact that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go
amen.
To meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you think about it, we're just looking at, you know, things just don't just happen. And there is, America's based on the Constitution. And the Constitution says that all of our rights come from God. And I encourage you, it'd be a shame that the only time you've read the Constitution is when it's something that was talked about in the history books of a nation that used to exist called America.
Mm.
But if you read it, you'll understand, wait a minute, you have a role to play in this, because it is a government made up of the people, which means for 530 folks to be able to control the 330 million in America, they can't just be a king and just force it. They have to convince enough people to go along with it. And one of the rules for radicals, one of the rules is something like, if you tell a lie long enough, I mean, how many people talk about global warming like it's just some legitimate type thing? It's like, yeah, Jesus told us about global warming. It's called hell, you know?
Right.
It's going to be hot as hell.
No.
And so
right.
That's going to happen. And he said to follow him, don't make the earth your God. You know, we should be good caretakers of the earth, but it doesn't become a religion. And so people talk about global warming, and we talk about the rules for radicals again when he says you do something that everybody will, you got to find an issue that everybody agrees upon and then stick with it, like pollution. I mean, he spells it out in rules for radicals, pollution. Mm-hmm. And you can see this. Go to VFNTV.com. Go to the torch. Drop down. You'll see series there. And the series is called Saul Alinsky. And there's another viewpoint of organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. But you need to understand that this is what's going on. And you don't want to be organized by people who have maybe good intentions. But if it's not God, it's evil. You know, if it's organized and it's outside the ways of God. And I have a letter on my desk. We're going to make available, and the thesis former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had written about Saul Alinsky, because he was one that mentored her, and he went into a church in Chicago based on reports that she was there, and she kind of latched onto him, and he wanted to change things. And this is in the 60s, I guess, 70s, But she writes this letter to Saul Alinsky, and she talks about, you know, I was looking for you, something like that, and I didn't talk, so I was thinking maybe the revelation happened. And you think about that. The book of Revelation talks about the taking away.
Mm.
And the worst lie of all is a religious lie. When you think you're doing God's work, but you're actually doing Lucifer's work. And when the book Rules for Radicals, the one that she was talking to, wrote a book when he was in jail, and he dedicated the book to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think the revelation would be the revelation of John on Isle of Patmos, not this John, but. And so these techniques are being used. And so we can get involved by praying, begin to pray for protection for Israel. Understand, some people think if we could just solve this Middle East problem, we can solve everything. Every presidential administration since Israel became a nation or began to form a nation has been focused on how to solve all this. And there's been some promises made. You can go back. You can learn so much. We're just learning history out loud so we can all learn together. And it's available for you. You can go back and watch the previous programs. But understanding the Middle East until, you know, it's going to be all God's. I mean, God's, there's going to be a huge land grab, you know, and Israel's going to expand to the Euphrates and to the Nile. It's going to be stretched out. And it's probably going to be Psalms 83 when that all comes into to play. And it looks like things are being set up right now. Well, we can start saying, you know, God, we'd like to have godly leadership. You know, we would like to have godly leadership. Understand that if you counted the elected people in Washington, D.C., it's like 530 folks. 530. Think about it. It's less than 1,000. It's less than 600 people. It's 530. Now, if you count the population of America, it's 330 million. I mean, think about it. You got 330 million, and then you have 530. 530 and 330 million. And the Constitution says, right here, you get your little pocket Constitution, it says, you know, we the people. Now, the we the people is for the 330 million. And he says that all of our rights come from our Creator. And I was watching a little clip from the Bill Maher show that they had on Fox News. And an actor called Ben Affleck.
Affleck. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Affleck. I think of the duck. For sure it's Affleck. And so he's arguing on the case of ignorantly, which means he doesn't know what he's talking about on Islam. Well, the two atheists know more about Islam than he knows about them because you had Sams and you had Bill Maher who are open atheists who are standing up, by the way, stronger for the reality of Islam than the church is today. And so Ben Affleck says, he says, it's sort of like our Constitution or our founding. He says that all of our rights, he said that all of our rights come from our founding fathers. I'm like, Creator is what it says. I mean, he couldn't even say the word Creator. I'm thinking like, aha, if you can't, he says, if they can't even that's say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's the Antichrist.
Wow.
That's the spirit of Antichrist. Couldn't, I was like, he was like, I'm like, it's called Creator, man. Wow. Our rights didn't come from our founding fathers. They knew better. They knew that there had to be a balance of government because men in our own state is evil. We need checks and balances and all this. But we'll maybe make that available to you. There's some language in there that was beeped out that might not be beeped out. But this the atheists were making a better argument about the truth of Islam. And one thing that was said was, as they were trying to reason with Affleck, was that they took a survey in Egypt. They took a survey in Egypt of the Muslims there. And 90%, according to what they're saying, 90% said that death is okay for those who leave the faith. And so they're looking at Affleck, and they're, you know, obviously at some point he's going to come too, right? Yeah. And he just kicks in there and defends. He says, "Listen," he says, "if Brazil had a law, if 90% of the Brazilians said if you leave Catholicism, if we think you deserve death, we would be saying something." And you look at Affleck, he's just like, where did you come from? You're an actor, man. You don't really, what are you?
He's playing
Batman.
Like,
you play part. Are you getting paid money for this
Batman,
part?
Yeah.
You're an actor. Remember, you play people, but you're not really, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, hopefully you got paid for that part. Anyway, so just you think about it. And it's like he was so mindset. He's arguing. You have somebody that can't even say Creator, arguing with two people who deny God's existence about Islam. And one thing the atheists, openly professing atheists, understood was that the Quran and Islam is a big bad bag of bad ideas. It's like, you know, it's all these different things.
Right.
And it was just, you have to understand, we have to, when you understand, we have on the VFN Torch, we have, you know, a whole section of it to help us better understand Islam and Christianity. We have Islam 101 and Christianity 101, but we put the Quran side by side with the Bible so you can see that they're the antithesis of each other, the opposite.
Hmm.
When you read Revelation, which I understand most people probably, maybe even the person that's teaching you, don't read the Bible. 81% of Christians don't even pick it up. 19% or so that do, or 17% that do, don't make life-changing decisions based on that. So it's 3%. You got to find that 3%. But when you read Revelation, remember, our God's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come from the sky. Jesus went up. He's going to come down. Well, in the Quran, that their Savior, their Messiah, is going to come out of the ground, a hole in the ground.
Hmm.
It's written in the Quran, Aflac. It's going to come from a hole in the ground. So they're the opposites. And we say that the beast, you know, Satan is going to have a system set up where he's going to put a mark on everybody, and you can't buy or sell without the mark. And we say that's bad.
Yeah, right? The Bible says, right?
The Bible. Right. We mean the Bible. That's what I'm saying, not me. It would be the Bible. Right. And then the Quran says their Messiah is going to come out of ground, and he's going to put a mark on everybody. And they say, or not they, but the Quran says, that's good.
Right.
Okay. Left or right? Yes or no? Right is wrong. Aflac. Understand that they're the total opposites. And if you won't stand up and you won't fight for Christianity the way that you're fighting for something you don't even understand, Islam, I mean, the atheist explained, he says, you don't even know anything. He goes, no, actually, I'm well studied on Islam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like,
right.
Understand, you know, you need Jesus, man. You know, you're an actor, man. And remember this, even though you move with emotions when actors act, they're not really that person.
Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, bro.
You know, some people are buying into characters, and people so buy into those characters that people do crazy things trying to come out of those characters because they only see me as this person that I acted as. But the truth is, they're not even that person. They're acting out of script.
Mm-hmm.
One good example is for years, and you have to remember this as parents, that they presented a young girl through scripts and had her act out for years in front of a lot of parents as Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. And all these parents and all the church girls are following this Miley Cyrus. But they were following an actor. It was an actor.
Hannah Montana, was it?
Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana. And so what she had to do was to break out of that. She tried to show her true colors, who she really was. She's like, I am not the person I acted like. I'm an actor. And so now she acted like a fool. She took all her clothes off and did all these kind of terrible things. But you see, you should have never bought into the fact that what you saw on your television screen or your movie screen is that person. I mean, be real careful when you're listening to an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actors are, you got to know them first. They're not their role. But it's a shame that an atheist defends the cause of humanity greater than is, you know, where's the church in understanding Islam is not. And so understand this. So then to support Islam, we're going to break. To support Islam, you are saying this, because the Quran says this, that Jesus has to come back. He is going to come back. And they do talk about, they have a name for Jesus in the Quran. He has to repent before calling himself the Son of God, and he'll help the man that comes out of the hole. You should have no part of that if you call yourself a Christ follower, a Christian. You have to understand, you have to say no to that and many, but understand specifically the anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. You can't. You can have no fellowship, no agreement. What does light and dark have to walk with each other? Yes, you know, if it's a peaceful religion, like it really ain't in regards to what President Bush said, is it really a peaceful religion? Well, now you're seeing heads taken off, and you're seeing women oppressed, and you're seeing homosexuals killed. I mean, that's not what God says. God tells everybody he loves them and he wants to win them to him, bring them into family. He says, such were some of you. But that's what that does. And so, as a matter of fact, we're going to have for you in a future program an actual Sharia court. Go on, you'll be able to see an actual Sharia court from an embedded reporter. But more we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a Christian, we'd like a minute of your time. We all see things are going from bad to worse in our nation and abroad. Christians are being beheaded in the Middle East. Israel is being attacked from all sides. And back home, many of our religious freedoms are under severe legal restrictions. The Lord asks us in Psalm 94:16, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers?" Throughout our nation's history, the church has been a force for good in America and abroad. It's time for the church to rise up and bring the gospel and biblical values back into every aspect of American life. We have the numbers and we have a voice. Let's use it. A new coalition has been formed by a large group of Christian organizations and ministries with a shared purpose: to mobilize Christians to rise up and make their voices heard in the public square and in the voting booth. On October 12th, we start the campaign with I Pledge Sunday 2014, The Rise of the Church, a nationwide rally via webcast, available online or at a church near you. We encourage all Christians, church leaders, and ministry leaders to go to iPledgeSunday2014.com and sign up to participate in our October 12th kickoff webcast, and then actively work to bring God back to the forefront in our nation. Together, we can change the future of America. iPledgeSunday2014.com.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I mean, who could say it better than a former Al-Qaeda operative? A book has just come out called Agent Storm, My Life Inside Al-Qaeda and the CIA. And this is a Danish man that we're going to make this all available to you on the VFN Torch. And don't forget about our green room. Our green room is going to have a lot of different things available for all of our partners out there. But this man was one that went around in radical jihadists. He knew all of the leaders, and including the Al-Qaeda operative that was killed by America in Yemen. Remember the stuff that was going on there? And but here's this man sold out to follow Muhammad, sold out to what he perceived was God, Allah. He went to radical training to train in the remote areas and get educated. And it's all about education and scholarism. And He was sold out. And people so often would think, well, that's just useless. It's not going to, there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
But there is hope. The hope is Jesus Christ, because this man, Morton Storm, found a Christian, found Christianity, and he realized through this encounter with Christianity that it was all untrue. Everything in the Quran was not true. But the question he's being asked in this interview, you got the whole interview on the VFN Torch about his book, and she's asking him, you know, what do we do with all these Americans that are going over here to fight for ISIS and this caliphate? You know, what do you think we should do since you were able to be redeemed? You know, what should we do with these? And this is his, it's going to be kind of maybe difficult to hear, but you can hear, hopefully get close to your televisions or radios and listen. But, you know, what, and watch. And he, so the video, the audio and the video doesn't line up because he was doing this interview over Skype from United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
because for some reason they weren't letting him travel.
Mm.
And
wonder why.
But he's the question, the answer. Matter of fact, let her ask the question herself, and you can hear. This is so important. So listen up. We're thinking about what's going on now.
So much. I'm just wondering. I thought it was interesting. I know we all got a little laugh about when you were talking about that you wanted to have bacon and kind of that you're not a Muslim anymore. But I'm just wondering, you know, now that you seem to be kind of, you know, living a different lifestyle, I'm wondering what you chalk up those experiences to and your, you know, quest for jihad and that period of your life. Do you think of it as a phase? You know, how do you think about these things now? And I'm wondering if when we're looking towards all of the Westerners that are going to Iraq and Syria and joining jihad, what lessons should we take from the ability to re-indoctrinate these people, that maybe this is just a phase they're going through, and maybe the international community can stop that, because you certainly don't espouse that type of ideology now. Thank you.
That's very, very good question as well, and it's very important to the current threats that the whole world is facing at the moment. I mean, we're not only facing it in the West, China. We discovered a Chinese ISIS fighter being caught in Iraq. So it's not only us up here, but it's also in the East. So what we can do, and for myself, it was a matter of faith, because I think the reason why it was easy for me to change was because I lost my faith. I discovered, I questioned, I found out that what I was upon was false. I'm not talking about it was a wrong ideology within Islam. No, I actually totally lost my faith in Islam. And so for that, it was easy for me to do this or to change. Other people who might have to be de-radicalized, there are programs that might be created soon. I haven't seen any ones that is quite useful, but what I think we should do is to obviously do that the hate preachers such as Omar Bakri and also Abu Hamza al-Misri and Abu Qatada and these people are facing justice and becoming an example to other imams out there, so they will not preach that hatred and that danger. So if we can prevent that by doing so, and also reaching out to the Muslim communities and give the youngsters some kind of hope and make them feel welcome in the society. But saying that, our current threat is that those who are already in Iraq or in Syria with those groups, and then prevent them coming back to the Western countries. Once they've been there, I believe that they have all committed crime against humanity.
That's so important. So he's saying, don't let them back in your country because they've committed crimes against humanity. This is a former jihadist that realized that he lost his faith, total faith in the Quran and Islam, because he realized it was not true. And imagine this, that a jihadist believed the scriptures. Now imagine if the church begins to believe the scriptures. And what happened when you hear him talk about a bacon and a beer, because the CIA would not work with him. They still thought maybe he wasn't, genuine. But if you are Islamic, you're not going to have alcohol and you're not going to eat pork, which is just a really wise thing, by the way, for those that are figuring out how to protect people and prevent, you know, things from happening. But understand that once he did, they knew that he was definitely what he said he was, that he would not. And he had to particularly prove that point to him. 80, he said that the way to stop it is all the hate preachers, the ones that are preaching these imams that are preaching hate. And reports are that Colleen, who just lost her head in Oklahoma from a particular man who beheaded her, went to a mosque that preached this kind of hate. Mm-hmm. He was on a Fox News last night, one of the members were, that was saying that they were sent back to listen, and he was speaking these things and supporting these kind of mindsets.
Wow.
And reports are, according to Fox News interview, that 80% of mosques in America do what Agent Storm was saying. That's the way to stop it. And secondly, like what's happening with the, according to the Alan Combs show, when the CARE leaders, 120 Muslim scholars, stood up and said, what's happening with this ISIS is not, it's wrong, it's evil, and we shouldn't have anything to do it. Things like that, we can all get together, and as a nation, we can function under the Constitution, and, you know, any faith that you just don't break my leg or rob from me, as they said when they're doing it. But the jihadist mindset and what's taking place will not work. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only way to God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Just talking to my father, and he was, he and my has my sisters and I. We got them an iPad, and you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
Mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to. To hear my mother, we just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio Program Facebook. You can get to our The VFN TV blog right off your application has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are, you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on a, on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.